peace, and our ushers will be more than happy to bring a copy of the Word of God. So you'll be able to look on the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. It's the very last book of your Bible. Book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. You need a Bible, just raise your hand up high if you would, please. Don't be shy about that, because we want you to be able to look right along and follow right along from the Bible with us this morning. Revelation chapter 6, if you would, please. Last book of your Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, if you are using one of the Bibles that's been handed out to you, you'll find it on page 1336, 1336. Go with us to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 6. If you're visiting with us today, we're doing a series of messages on end times Bible prophecies. And we are in the book of Revelation. And as we are in the book of Revelation, we are getting ready this morning to look at what is commonly referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Apocalypse simply means prophetic revelation. That which is God says in His Word is going to happen yet in the future. We saw last week a great moving scene up in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, there was a book that was written, that was sealed. It was written on the inside, the outside. And the cry went out, who is worthy to loose these seals and open the book? And they couldn't find anyone down on the earth. They couldn't find anyone in heaven. And finally, one of the folks in heaven said, listen, there is one who can prevail to open that book. He's the Lion of the King of Judah. He is the Lamb of God, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. When we come to Revelation chapter 6, it is Christ taking and breaking the seals of that book. As He breaks the seals of that book, it is unveiling or unfolding judgments that God is going to send upon the face of the earth during what we refer to as the tribulation period. I hope this is understandable to you this morning. I hope you know enough about the Bible to understand what we're talking about here today. I'll try to help you as we go along. If you have questions, please see me after the service. If you're physically able to do so, we like to stand for our scripture reading, so if you'd stand with me, please. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 8. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat upon thereon, to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in the a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, verse 7, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and we pray that as we look into the Word of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified and magnified, given His rightful place and position of honor. And I pray, Lord, that you would impress upon our heart the things that you have told in your Word is going to happen to this earth. Lord, that we would be ready to know to meet you. And that, Father, that we would live for you and use our lives to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the special anniversary service that we have coming up, Lord, that we as a church body could utilize that to the utmost Lord, of effectiveness of reaching others for Christ. I pray, Lord, that through it many souls would be saved and that your hand of blessing would be upon it and you would be glorified through it. Father, we ask for your help in the service this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, I made the point that this book that was written on the inside and the outside really represented the title deed of the earth. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, in coming and receiving that book out of the hand of God the Father, and being the one and the only one who had the power to break those seals and to begin to bring those judgments upon the face of the earth. Because that's where we're at in our study of Bible prophecy. There is coming a 7-year period on this earth known as the tribulation. And during that 7-year period, there will be 21 judgments that God will pour out on the face of the earth. The purpose of this is that Jesus Christ is taking back that which has been circumvented by the devil. The Bible would put it like this, and I want you to take your Bibles and look at this, if you would please. Just hold your place and in the book of Revelation. Go with me to your left, to 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you're using one of our Bibles, page 1226. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 would put it like this, and I want you to see this, if you would please. Christ is going to subdue this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 24, page 1226, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look down with me if you would please, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 26, or not verse 26, look down with me in verse 24 if you would please. The Bible says, "Then cometh the end, and when he," referring to Jesus, "shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, the Father," even the Father, "when he shall have put down," look at this now, what's Christ going to put down? All what? All rule and all what? All authority and all what? Power. And not only is he going to put down rule and authority and power, but notice it says he must reign till he has put all what? Enemies under his what? Feet. Now the last enemy that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to destroy before he takes the kingdom and delivers it into the hand of God the Father is the greatest enemy of us. And that is the enemy of death. Notice what the Bible says in verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. Is death. The greatest enemy known to man. So when the Lord Jesus Christ begins to take this book and he begins to break these seals and judgments begin to transpire or come on the face of the earth, I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is working to put down, as the Bible says here, all rule, all authority, and all what? Power. Truth of the matter is, this is our Father's world. It rightfully belongs to him. And what Satan has sought to wrestle away from God, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to bring into subjection and submission to God, and then he's going to take that kingdom and place it into the hands of the Father once again. Now, having said that, let's go back to Revelation chapter 6, and we'll begin to work our way through these judgments here this morning. The Bible describes them as riders. Riders upon different colored horses, if you would please. The Apostle John is looking up into heaven, and he sees the Lamb. He sees the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 1, if you would please, Revelation chapter 6. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." So here the Lord Jesus Christ is pictured as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is referred to as the Lamb 28 times in the book of Revelation. And it points us back to the sacrificial death that he made on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. So the Lamb now, who is worthy, takes, he opens one of the seals. And John says this, "When Jesus opened that seal, I heard, as it were, the noise of," look at it now, the noise of what? Thunder. When you and I hear thunder, what do we think of? We think of a storm, don't we? And it's an indication that a storm is coming our way. We hear the thunder rumbling. We hear the thunder roaring. And here this seal has been broken, and all of a sudden, what is John hearing? He's hearing the sound of warning. There is a storm coming. And notice what takes place. Notice in your Bibles, if you would please, I heard, as it were, the noise of a thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Hey, John, come and see. I want you to see what's going to happen now." And I saw in verse 2, and behold, what kind of horse? A white horse. So the first seal, we've got a white horse, a rider on a white horse. And he that sat on him, that sat on that white horse, notice he possesses a what? He possesses a bow. He also possesses a what? A crown. They were given unto him. Now notice why he's coming. The rider on that horse is coming, the Bible says. He's coming to conquer and to what? Conquering and to conquer. Now I want you to understand that that is an imitation of when Christ is going to come the second time. Jesus Christ will come riding on a white horse. And he will come conquering and to conquer. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's got more than a bow and a crown. You see, this judgment is unfailing. It's unfolding the coming of the Antichrist. I think most people here have heard the term Antichrist. There is a coming world dictator, world ruler, that's going to come to this earth. He is coming conquering and to conquer. He indeed will have a crown. He will be in charge of the Confederacy of 10 nations. And he will have, the Bible says, a what? A bow. But what's missing there? There's no arrows. There's no ammunition. Remember, when Jesus comes, he comes with a sword. Comes riding on a white horse. He comes conquering and to conquer, but he comes with a what? Sword. This rider on this horse is coming peaceably. And we need to understand that the Antichrist is going to receive power from many nations of the world, and he's going to do it through the means of peace. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 11. It's over in the Old Testament. The book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 11. This will be on page 917 if you're using one of our Bibles. And look in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 11. In Daniel chapter 11, it speaks of the coming of the Antichrist to this earth. And I want you to understand that the Antichrist is not going to come to power through his military might or force. He is going to come to power through peace. Through peace. We studied a few weeks ago the 70th week of Daniel. And we understand that the Antichrist is going to orchestrate a 7-year peace treaty with the nation of Israel. And he is going to come to power, as the Bible says, peaceably. Notice, if you would, here in Daniel chapter 11, in verse 21. In verse 21 it says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person," this is referring to the Antichrist, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in," how? "Peaceably, and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood," verse 22, "shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him," verse 23, "he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people." And verse 24 says, "And he shall enter," how? "Peaceably." I want to say that the world is ripe for the Antichrist. The world is ripe for a leader in the Middle East who could come in and orchestrate a peace settlement with the nation of Israel and all the other folks there. And when the Antichrist comes, he's going to come peaceably. But allow me to say here this morning that although he comes peaceably, the kingdom under his rule is going to be anything but peace. This world is headed for the worst time of its entire existence. Daniel talks about it in Daniel chapter 12. We're close, so look at it if you would please. In Daniel chapter 12, notice how this Daniel describes this time that's coming to this world. In Daniel chapter 12, look in verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Look at this as he describes it. A time of trouble such as was never since there was a what? A nation. Although the Antichrist comes to power peaceably, he's just introducing a time of trouble, a time of trouble that the world has never seen anything like this. Since there's been nations on the face of the earth, no one has ever seen the kind of trouble that the tribulation period is going to bring to the face of the earth. Matthew says it's going to be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, sure, ever shall be. Jeremiah speaks of it as talking about a time of Jacob's trouble. Isaiah says this world literally is going to reel to and fro. So the first seal, the rider on the white horse, is the Antichrist coming to power. Jesus, when he walked the face of the earth, foretold about a coming ruler. Look in John chapter 5, if you would please. John chapter 5. The Gospel of John in John chapter 5, page 1121. And in John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus Christ foretold about the coming of the Antichrist to this earth. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. In John chapter 5, in verse 43, notice what Jesus said. In John chapter 5, in verse 43, Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me what? Not. Now notice what he said prophetically. If another shall come in his own name, him will you what? Receive. Jesus was speaking of a prophetic sense, and he says to the Jewish people, you know, I've come in the Father's name, and you've rejected me. There's going to be someone else that's going to come in another name, and guess what? You're going to receive him. You're going to accept him. And the Jewish nation is going to accept the Antichrist. And many will believe that he is their Messiah. What a paradox. When Jesus was here on the face of the earth, he was the one and the only one who can bring anybody real lasting peace. To know Christ is to know peace. And to not have Christ is to have no peace. And now the Antichrist will come in another's name, and he will promise peace, and the world will buy into it. And yet they will be deceived. Because the Bible says this and warns this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when they, the unbelieving world, shall say, peace and safety. We think somebody has finally achieved what we've longed for so long. The Bible says, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman. And so we see here in this first rider, the unveiling of the first judgment of the tribulation. Although it appears to be somewhat peaceably, it's just the beginning of a huge storm. The thunder has sounded. Now let's go back to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. Let's look at the second rider. The second rider is coming upon a red horse. In Revelation chapter 6, notice verses 3 and 4. Let's read them once again. In verses 3 and 4, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse. This horse is not white. This horse is what? Red. And the Bible says that power was given to him that said thereupon, the rider of that horse. Look at what this rider does. He takes what? Peace from the earth. That they should do what? Kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. And so we find that as the Antichrist comes to power peaceably, the second rider comes, and now peace is taken from the face of the earth. And that people are killing each other. You know, you and I sometimes get taken up by the awful conditions of the world that you and I are living in. And indeed, we are living in difficult days. The Bible says this, know also that perilous times will come in the last days. And we believe that we're living in those perilous times. And although at times we get to thinking that things are really bad and could they ever get any worse than what they are, the answer to that is yes. They're going to get a whole lot worse. When peace is removed from the face of the earth, human life basically is going to be valueless. Now, we already see a movement across our nation about the valuelessness of human existence. I mean, how people can be so calloused that they'll just mow somebody down in a heartbeat and not think anything about it. And that is just an emphasis upon the devaluation of the human life. And it's sad that we have taught our young people that life is not valuable, that life is not precious. It's sad that when the federal government, protects turtle eggs, but they won't protect the life of a human being in the place where it should be most protected, in the mother's womb. It's sad. It devalues the sanctity of human life. It's sad when the cartoon characters that our young people are watching and violent video games that they're playing treat human existence as though it is nothing. And so it's okay to blow, somebody's brains out to oblivion. So what do they begin to react and do in real life? The very same thing. And during the tribulation period, life is going to be seen so devalued and peace is going to be removed from the face of the earth that people are going to be taken and they're going to be killed by the thousands. Jesus warned about that in Matthew 24. Take your Bibles and take a look at this, if you would please. In Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus Christ warned about these days. Page 1033, if you would please. In Matthew chapter 24, the Bible here describes some of the killing of the tribulation period in Matthew chapter 24, page 1033. In verse 9, Jesus is warning his followers here, he's warning believers here that during the tribulation period that many of them are going to lose their lives. Notice verse 9, it says, then shall they deliver you up to be, look at it now, deliver you up to be what? Afflicted, and they shall what? Kill you, and ye shall be what? Hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then the Bible says, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Why not? Peace is taken from the face of the earth. And notice what it goes on to say. And because iniquity shall what? Abound. Look at what the Bible says. The love of many shall wax what? You see, when peace is removed from this earth, people are capable of doing all kinds of inhumane things. And there is going to be a tremendous amount of killing that's going to take place. That's the red horse. Go back with me, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 6. The third horse, the rider on the third horse, is riding upon a black horse. And as this rider is riding upon a black horse, there are a couple of things that take place under this judgment that are just terrible. Notice verse 5, it says, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, now we've got a black horse. And that he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard in a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a what? Penny. And three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. What's taking place in this judgment is inflation and famine. Inflation and famine. A penny back in Bible days was a day's wage. You read about it in Matthew chapter 20. We'll not turn there, but in Matthew chapter 20 and verses 1 and 2, if you agreed to go out and work in the field for a person for a day, they would pay you a penny. And so as Revelation here speaks about, a penny, it's talking about working for a day, your day's wage. And what is your day's wage going to be able to buy you during this tribulation period? Well, the Bible says it will buy you a quart of wheat. A measure of wheat. That's a quart. A quart jar. You know what a quart jar looks like? You say, that's not a lot. Well, you get 3 quarts of barley for working the entire day. That's inflation. Is that an inflation? And just stop and think about that. If you're going to work an entire day for just a quart jar of wheat, or 3 quart jars of barley How much food would you have? Not a whole lot. Maybe just enough to survive. Maybe. And Jesus, when his disciples ask him in Matthew chapter 24 for a sign of his coming, Jesus said there's going to be famines on this earth. And this black horse is bringing not only inflation, it's bringing famine to the earth. Then as we move on to that fourth seal in verse 7, notice if you would please, in verse 7, the Bible says, "And when he'd opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, this horse is a pale horse, a pale-colored horse. And notice the Bible says, 'And his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.' And the scripture says, 'And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth.'" Stop and think about that. God is saying that in that judgment, one-fourth of the world's population is going to be killed. Now, we know before the tribulation begins, the church is going to be delivered. The church is going to be raptured. And we know that there are over 7 billion people on the face of the earth right now. Now, I don't know how big the church is. I don't know how many believers there are on the face of the earth. But let's say that there are 1 billion people. Out of the 7 billion people, let's say that 1 billion are believers. That leaves 6 billion people on the face of the earth. This judgment comes during the tribulation period. And if there are 6 billion people on the face of the earth, in this one judgment, 1,500,000,000 people are going to die. We can't even fathom that, can we? 1,500,000,000 being killed. Being killed, first of all, the Bible says, by the sword. That would refer to wars. Secondly, by hunger. That would include famine. Thirdly, by death, plagues, and pestilences. They're going to be on the face of the earth, diseases. Fourthly, killed by beast. The animal kingdom is going to become ferocious during the tribulation period and kill mankind. One-fourth of the world's population being killed. But I want you to notice something in this. I want you to notice, if you would please, that in this judgment, in verse 8, and this is important for us to see this morning, so please pay attention. It says in verse 8, "And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was," get it now, "the rider's name." What is it? Death. Death is coming down here. And it's claiming the lives of a fourth of the people on the face of the earth. The rider on the horse's name is death. Remember, death is the greatest enemy to man. Death is the last enemy that Christ is going to destroy. According to Revelation, Jesus Christ will eventually take death and cast it into the everlasting lake of fire. But right now, today, death is the enemy of mankind. Death is the enemy of you. Death is the enemy of me. Take your Bibles and look, if you would, please, in Hebrews chapter 9, to your left, just a little ways. Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, death is not our friend, death is our foe. And in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 9, page 1299, look what the Bible says. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 27, the scripture makes this statement. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed unto men," look at it now, "it's appointed unto men." How many times did I? Once to what? This is not something we have a second chance at. This is something that we have an appointment with. It is appointed unto man once to what? Die. You know, unless we are alive when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, one day death will come our way. I'm saying that this morning because I want to ask you a question. Are you prepared for your appointment? It's not an appointment you're going to be late at. It's not an appointment that you're going to ignore and you're going to be able to skip. It's appointed unto men once to what? Once to die. Are you ready to face death? My friend, the only way to be ready to face death is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, in this judgment, in the book of Revelation, the rider of this horse is named Death. But the Bible goes on to say, and hell followed. Did you notice that? Go back with me, if you would please. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. In verse 8, look at what the Bible says. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat upon him was, here it is, the name on the rider of the horse was what? Death. Now look what it says. And what? Hell followed what? With him. The Bible says that hell followed with death. During this judgment during the tribulation, death is coming to claim their physical lives. But behind that rider of death, is hell coming to claim their souls. And my friend, unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, death will come our way to claim our physical life, but hell will come our way to claim our souls. Aren't we glad that we have a God who loves us and cares for us and has done what is needed to spare us and to rescue us from the claim of hell upon us? Take your Bibles and look at this, if you would, please. In John chapter 3, I want you to see something here this morning with me in John chapter 3 that is so thrilling and so exciting to realize that God has delivered us. He has delivered us from death. He has delivered us from hell. And that's the whole purpose of Jesus coming to this earth. Look in John chapter 3, if you would, please, page 1117. John chapter 3. One of the greatest verses in all the Bible is found in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Do you know the verse? Say it with me or read it in your Bible. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about what that verse is saying. For God so loved the world. That's dealing with us, with all of mankind, with every one of us here this morning. There's not a person on the face of the earth that God does not love. God loved the world so much, that he was willing to give his only begotten Son. He was willing to give his Son in sacrifice. He was willing to give his Son in death. Christ has conquered death. Christ has conquered death. The grave. Christ can bring you and I life in heaven. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Now think about what the verse is saying. He loved you so much and he loved me so much that he was willing to give his Son in order that we would not what? Perish. You see, the truth of the matter is, as sinful individuals, in the sight of a holy God, we deserve to perish. We deserve God's judgment. But God loved you and I so much that he was willing to send his Son to this earth in order to spare us from perishing. So that we wouldn't have to die and go to hell. So that when death came our way, in a physical sense, hell would not follow. It would be heaven. He says that we should not perish, but we would have what? Everlasting life. Life with him in heaven forever and forever. What a wonderful verse. Say it with me once again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think about verse 17 with me, please. John chapter 3, verse 17 says this. For God sent not his Son into the world. Now get this. God did not send his Son into the world to do what? Condemn the world. But that the world through him might be what? The reason God did not send Christ to condemn us is that we were already condemned. We were condemned in our trespasses and sins. Hold your finger in John 3 and go with me to Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3. Hold your place in John 3. I'll bring you back there in just a little bit. Go with me to your right, to the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3. Page 1194. And look with me in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, God did not send His Son Jesus into this world to condemn us. He sent His Son that through Him we might be saved. The truth of the matter is we were already condemned in our sin. The Bible says this about every one of us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "For some of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's what it says, isn't it? Brother Reese back here, he's really sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what it says, doesn't it? That's how some of us would like to read it, right? Everybody has sinned except for me and come short of the glory of God. Is that what it says? No, the Bible says, "For how many? All have sinned," and what did we do? We come short of what it takes to get to heaven. We've come short of the glory of God. God is holy, God is perfect, God is righteous, God is pure. Heaven is perfect. If you and I were going to get to heaven on our own, you know what we would have to be? Perfect. Are we? We've come far short of that, have we not? And that's what the verse is teaching. For all have what? Sinned. We've come what? Short of the glory of God. Sometimes we say, okay, I've come short of what it takes to get heaven. Okay, all right. I've done some things wrong. You know, we like to say it sort of like this. Well, I've messed up a little bit. Truth of the matter is we've messed up a lot. And not only have we come short of what it takes, we don't have the ability of fixing the situation. There's not one thing that you and I can do that can fix the problem of our sin. Because God says this. Look over in Romans chapter 6. God says this in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, God makes this statement about our sin. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, look at what God says. God says, "For the wages of sin is what? Is death." You see, if we were to pay for our sin, what would happen to us? We would die. We would be eternally separated from God. For God says the wages or the payment or the penalty for sin is what? Death. The good news is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and made that payment for us. He died on our behalf. Look in chapter 5, if you would please. Chapter 5 of the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says that God commendeth His love toward who? Toward us. You see it? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ did what? He died for us." Christ died. He paid the penalty of our sin. He was buried. He rose again the third day. Why? To deliver us from death and to bring us life. Look back in Romans chapter 6, in verse 23. We just read the first part of the verse. The first part of the verse is the bad news part. We left out the good news part. Let's go back and look at the good news part. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." But notice what it goes on to say. "But the gift of God is..." And notice it's through who? Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice it doesn't say it's through going to church, does it? Doesn't say it's through being good, does it? Doesn't say it's through getting baptized, does it? Doesn't say it's through obeying God's laws and commands, does it? There's nothing wrong with doing those things, but doing those things doesn't get us to heaven. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." It's through Christ we're not going to perish, but we have everlasting life. God didn't send His Son to condemn us. We were already condemned in our sins. But that through Him we might be what? Saved. And now the Bible says that salvation is the gift of God. It's what God takes and gives to us freely because the price has been paid in full by His Son on the cross of Calvary. While the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life. And that gift is ours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, how can that gift be yours? Go back to John chapter 3, if you would, please. John chapter 3. How can that gift be yours? How can you be certain that you're not going to perish? How can you be certain that you have everlasting life? How can you be certain that if death were to come your way today, that hell would not follow? Listen, death may come my way today. A man knoweth not what a day may bring forth. Death could come your way today. A man knoweth not what a day may bring forth. It's appointed and the man wants to what? Die. We're all going to die one of these days. But when we die, we don't want hell to follow. We want to go to heaven to be with the Lord. And how can we be certain that we're going to be one of those people that's going to go to heaven and not spend eternity in hell? John chapter 3, verse 18. John chapter 3, verse 18. Here's the answer. Remember verse 17, what does it say? For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him, through Jesus, might be what? Saved. So now verse 18 says this, He that what? Believeth on Him is what? My friend, have you believed on Jesus Christ to save you from your sin? Have you trusted in Him and what He's done on the cross to be your way to heaven? You see, that's what it means to believe on Him. God, I'm a sinner. I deserve Your judgment. But I believe You placed it upon Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He died for my sin, was buried, and rose again the third day to bring me life. And God, I'm believing on Christ. I'm trusting Your Son and what He did on my behalf to be my way to heaven. That and nothing else. Verse 18 says, He that believeth on Him is not what? Condemned. But then it goes on to say that he that believeth not, those who have not believed on Christ, they're condemned when?
Already.
Pay attention to the verse. And why are they condemned? Are they condemned because they're not in church today? That's not what it says. Are they condemned because they haven't been baptized? That's not what it says. Are they condemned because they don't live a certain type of life? That's not what it says. Look what it says. It says they're condemned already because he hath not what? Believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. My friend, there are two types of people on the face of the earth. It's not good boys versus bad boys. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's not Baptists and everybody else. There's two kinds of people on the face of the earth. It's those who have believed on Jesus Christ as Savior and what He's done for them on the cross of Calvary to be their way to heaven. And the Bible says they are not what? Condemned. And there's those who have refused to believe on Christ and what He's done on the cross of Calvary to be their way to heaven. And the Bible says they are condemned already. Why? Because they've not believed. And verse 36 issues this warning. John chapter 3 and verse 36. Look at the warning. He that believeth on the Son, God says, you hath or have everlasting life. But then it goes on to say, well, what about those who have not believed on the Son? He that believeth not the Son, the Bible says, shall not see what? Life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Where are you at today, my friend? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on your behalf to be your way to heaven? Well, if you have, good news is you have everlasting what? Life. But if you haven't yet believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God's wrath abides upon you. There's coming a day on the face of the earth, this world is headed for some severe judgments. Christ is taking back what is rightfully His. He's subduing all power, all authority, all rule. He will take it and He will put it under His feet. He will rule with a rod of iron. And then He will take the kingdom and deliver it to the hand of God the Father. My friend, that's nothing to fear if you know Christ. But if you don't know Christ, death may come your way and hell will follow. Let's bow together and pray.